Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. The fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another live Q&A video for you. I have today tons of answers to the most common questions that parents are asking on the platform. For those of you who are joining me new or recently, my name is Marcy Melzer. I'm an intuitive speech-language pathologist and language facilitation coach and consultant. And what that means is that I help parents and caregivers all over the world connect with the children who are not talking yet in your life so that you can facilitate the shift from nonverbal communication behavior. Some of it you don't want to see, some of it you might want to see more of, all of that into spoken language so these kids can share their wisdom with the world. And that's what I do here on the Waves of Communication platform. And today I have a live Q&A episode for you. Today I have a video for you, a slideshow that we're going to go through that highlight the most common questions, at least the ones that I've been getting just this week. These questions have all come in just this week. I've got a bunch of them. And for those of you who have been commenting on my videos, stay tuned because your question could be popping up here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you, instead of going through each one and giving all the strategies, I'm going to guide you toward resources and remind you about why you're feeling stuck. So hopefully these Q&A videos are the ones that help you move outside of your comfort zone, push through the things that you're second guessing yourself about. Are you doing it enough? Are you doing it the right way? Why isn't progress happening? Let's dig into it, everybody. Okay, so as I said, we're going to be talking about speech and behavior Q&A today. And again, I do these videos periodically because I do get a lot of questions from parents. I just want to remind you how grateful I am for those of you who have signed on to be members, not just because I know that that's the best way for you to access the information. It's all cultivated into playlists so that you can access all the training you need, but I'm grateful because this takes a lot of resources to produce this Waves of Communication platform, everybody. I spend my own time, my own effort, and any contribution when you buy a book, when you watch my videos, when you watch the ads, when you subscribe to my membership, participate in my workshops, take advantage of all those things, it keeps me here. If you want to keep seeing these videos, these intensive hour-long training episodes and opportunities for you to come back and get coaching, if you want that to continue, that support also has to continue. So I'm very, very grateful for those of you. Even if you do the smallest thing like liking this video, subscribing to my channel, most of you are not subscribed, but I know most of you are new. And I know I want to prove to you that this is the most valuable spot. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, wherever you are watching, this Waves of Communication platform is guided by God and the universe to provide to you the guidance you need so that you can equip your kids. We need these kids to be talking because they are our future. They have the ideas for us to develop moving forward, and we need to help them going. And I know that all of you who are watching, who are worried and feeling like progress isn't happening and you want things to be happening faster, I want to help you feel good about this progress, because if it isn't fun, it isn't fun. The process is the progress, right? I want you to feel good every day, not just when someday when they develop speech or someday when they stop doing these behaviors you want to change, then I'll be happy. No, the idea is for you to be happy every day. And that's what's different about this channel. It's all about you. And the most important thing you bring to every strategy is you, not the tools, not the toys, not the ideas, but you and your heart and your connection with your child. All right. So that being said, let's get into the questions of the week. And this is it. The first one, it comes from a member because member questions always get priorities in my Q&A. And Carrie posted on this Boss Baby video, and she says, Marcy, my son has started saying many words. So there has been, obviously, Carrie's been taking advantage of watching the videos, and he understands what I say to him, but. Well, there's always a but whenever I get to these, and it's those buts that I'm addressing. Remember, I know that you're struggling, and this is why I'm here. He is still slow in responding. Keyword here that I'm using from this is respond. And he flaps his hand a lot when he's excited. We know that kids will continue to do things, but these are the things that are worrying this mom, Carrie. He's still slow in responding. He flaps his hands when he's excited. And it's been 6 whole months that she has eliminated screen time. So we can see how parents are, even members who are working with kids and seeing progress in the fact that he understands. But here is my recommendation for you, Carrie, and any of you who are feeling like your child is not responding. I want you to think about how many times or how much of what you are saying to your child out of your mouth. When you say a statement, a phrase, some group of words comes out of your mouth directed at your child, how many of those times is it in the form of a question? Even if you already know the answer, your child's in the kitchen looking for some food. The first thing you say to them is, are you hungry? Your child's already using nonverbal communication to communicate. And if you are using more questions than statements and stories and new ideas and your heart and mind, not what you think they should be doing or some way to trigger to pull speech out, that's what could be happening. And you could be stuck in that habit of asking a lot of questions. That's because in your concern, you use the word responding. And if your child's following directions, that means that you are giving a lot of directions. Come here, do this, bring it here, blah, 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 blah. So you've been testing, which means that it's either a command or a question that's coming out of your mouth. And your child's not going to learn new spoken language if you're only testing, testing, testing. Are they learning? Are they learning? Are they learning? What are they learning from? If you are their primary influence in their life and you're asking a lot of questions, that is going to be the problem. Now, the link to this video is in the description of this video that you're watching right now. So you can go over there and watch that video for all the strategies about how to change that. All right, here's the next question on that Boss Baby video that I did last week. And this is from someone who says, my son understands what I say, but is not able to produce words. Sound familiar? Kind of like the other person who just said. And this parent wants to know, how do I encourage him? Okay, so just like the other video or the other question I have a video resource for you, and it's this one. This video says 5 easy tips for you to facilitate new words, because this is what your concern is. You've stopped screen time, you're getting more engagement because your child, obviously, if they can't look at screens, you've been doing something. We'll get to that in the next couple of questions. But whatever you have been doing, this is what you have to think about, because remember, I'm not in your house. I don't see you. You're there on your own. And what do you see as the thing that your child is communicating all the time with nonverbal behavior, and they just refuse. It seems like they just don't use words. They're just stuck in the habit of using the behavior instead of speech. Those are the places that you'll start. And remember, it's not about the words that you want to hear your child say. None of this facilitation work that I'm talking about here is about you making your child say things that you want them to say or do things that you want them to do. It's about cooperatively showing your child things that are important to do for your experience. So yes, you want them to get dressed, but they also need to get dressed so that they can get out of their pajamas and go out into the world, or get out of their dirty world clothes and into their cleaner pajamas. You want them to eat all of the food on their plate or in their tiffin at the daycare or whatever. You want that to happen, but your child, in order for that to really be their idea, they have to understand why it's important and really enjoy what's going in there and feel comfortable enough wherever they're at the daycare to eat that stuff. Without those things that you're facilitating, see, when you facilitate showing your child what's in the tiffin and demonstrating what's going on in their life and what they can expect and what will help them get a better experience in life when they do what they're supposed to, right? Then they'll get a better experience in their life. When they understand all those things, they will start talking. But as long as you remain stuck in prompting your child to say, imitate you, ask for things using words or extending their single words into I want phrases or any of that business where it's you making them say, I want him in your head and heart. I want him to do. I want him to say. I wonder if he knows how to do. I wonder if he knows how to say. When it comes from there, it's not about facilitating what a child wants to do and what a child wants to say. And when they learn how to use spoken language to tell you, it's real speech, and they use the right behavior that's expected of them when they follow the rules, when they get dressed when it's time to get dressed, and they go in the bath when it's time to go to the bath, and they come inside when it's time to come inside, you see. That's when new words start coming faster than you can count, okay? It's not when you have a list and you wonder which of these 20 will he say first, okay? So that's the difference. And the last video that I showed you, in addition to this one, these are videos that help you shift these five easy tips. They help you shift that habit that you have of questioning, prompting, because you're questioning yourself, you're questioning the process, you're questioning your child, you're second guessing, right? This next question comes from my virtual autism video, which has been the most popular video on my channel since it was produced. It's had thousands of views. I know that's where many or most of you have come from to find the channel. Thank you for joining me again. And this woman says, my daughter is 3.8, so, you know, almost 4 years old. She stopped screen time from 0 to 0 from 3.5 years. So we're talking about 5 months that she made changes. So remember, her child was already older than 3 and had been watching videos for and tech for a very long time. And in 5 months, this mom has just sent her child to speech therapy. I'm not seeing that she's been doing anything else at home except for stopping screen time. And this mom's situation, she's getting better. I'm not sure what that means. Obviously, like the other two parents, could be following directions better, understanding better, maybe not having so much wanted, unappreciated communication behavior. She's using less of that, and she can understand everything. That's this mom's or the dad's situation to say that this is better, okay? The child's better because she stopped screen and she started therapy, but here's that big capital letters, but she can't express her needs or wants, and she's pulling my hands, and her pointing is less, okay? So there's another thing that someone is asking a child to point to things or do things. So this mom wants to know what to do. Please suggest to me which one is helping me to change my behavior. She doesn't know if it's going to be workbooks or videos. You have a lot of videos. I'm confused about the right one. Please suggest which of your videos I need to follow. And I want to know if membership and workbooks is enough to teach language I'm trying at, or which one is better to teach language. This is what people want to know. Obviously, you see that other parents are here because they are learning and you're just getting here and don't know where to start. So what do I suggest for a parent who really is not sure what to do from the very beginning? You're here because you want to know what are parents doing when they're stuck? What are parents doing when they don't know what to do? And I'm telling you, the parents that are staying on path, that are seeing progress every day, that send me notes about what they've seen that are different, are those people that are subscribed to my newsletter. And when you subscribe, so what happens is when you subscribe, you get a copy of this Get Started guide that has some starter videos in there for you. And it helps you to stay connected. And then you keep returning to these videos, comment, and join. And she wants to know if it works for parents. These are two testimonials from parents that it is working for. Okay. The first one comes from Zara. I don't know. Anyway, the language facilitation journey they started 3 weeks ago has helped us so much to improve our relationship, meaning their relationship with their child. They didn't even realize that their relationship with their child was not solid and trusting and committed and back and forth and connected even. Okay. It helped their relationship improve. And because their relationship improved, this child's using new language, not at a super fast rate, because it's not happening as fast as this mom wants it to go yesterday, okay? But I know things are starting to make sense for him inside, and I can feel it. And she can feel it because they're connected, because they have an improved relationship. When you improve your relationship with your child and you stop trying to make them do stuff, answer all your questions, progress faster, then they are ready to go, right? That's when you run into problems. So the second testimonial says, this mom is confident, Kelly, is confident that continued language facilitation at home will continue to help her daughter. How does she know? Where did this confidence come from, Kelly? It came from her daughter's actual progress, because her daughter has picked up new vocabulary. And this mom talks through everything they do. And this daughter enjoys when they talk about family pics in the photo album and talking through painting her nails. Nails and all these other things that parents want to do. The next question, if you are responding to any of these scenarios, are you worried? Are you afraid that the progress isn't happening fast enough? Is your child understanding more, but the words still aren't coming? In fact, maybe the nonverbal communication has increased. They're getting more detailed in how they're taking your hand to put it on the things, or they're, you know, dragging you specifically to the things they want. Maybe they didn't even used to do that before. Maybe they were just on their own, isolated. And now that you've stopped phones and you started connecting and you got the books out and you're going outside to play and doing all those kinds of things, you're seeing some nice progress. Let's get into the next question over here. Okay, so Audrey has this question and she says, thanks again for this virtual autism video, the number one video that, you know, we see all over the place. thanks again for this video. And she has a question. Her daughter was exposed to too much television and not enough face-to-face interaction at an early age. She fits the virtual autism profile you gave in this video. We realized at 18 months that it was a problem. Okay. So this child really early, I mean, we're talking like at 18 months, they realized it was a problem. Already this child started to show, but she got a lot better. They removed the TV. So she got better, started talking, became much more engaged and interactive, improved in eye contact, joint attention, etc. And there's that big however or but, the thing that isn't happening. What's stuck for this family? Let's see. So, however, this child is now 33 months old. Now we're getting close to 3 years old, and then people get worried even more. Like if they're not talking by two, they're a little bit worried. But if they're not talking by three, and that's only 3 months away, and how can this mom get speech in 3 months? I promise you, you can, Audrey, but her speech has progressed. And what she's doing instead is she's showing other markers for autism. So this mom is not looking at her child's speech as progress. She's looking at it as markers for autism. Echolalia scripting, unusual prosody of speech, and difficulty with use of speech. And I'm wondering if these differences in language, she's obviously the other behaviors. I don't see repetitive behaviors. I don't see obsessions. I don't see isolation. I don't see any of those other markers of autism. I only see differences in language. Can these differences in language still be explained by virtual autism, even though we removed the TV 15 months ago and that only 18 month old is now almost three? Can the effects of virtual autism linger this long, or is it more likely that she has ASD? Now, look carefully at this question, everybody. This is common. I'm getting this. Yes, I watched that virtual autism video. Yes, my child has all those signs. Yes, they had a lot of video or TV time from very early age. Yes, I took it away, but you know, they still get it sometimes, and I'm not really sure what to do instead. So maybe it's not as little as possible, and maybe this child's watching TV other places, and yes, they're making improvements, but they're not, again, responding to my questions, and they're still using all that echolalia. So what happens with kids that are very tech addicted, and then you just stop the tech cold turkey or TV cold turkey? That child is in their head, reliving those experiences. If you take away Mickey Mouse, because remember, that was your child's first friends before she was 18 months old. She had more FaceTime with Mickey Mouse, Caillou, Cocomelon, Bluey, Daniel Tiger, or whoever character, Blippi, those guys. Girls, people, Miss Rachel, that could have been your child's first friend, right? You've always been the mom or the dad, but your child's very first love. I can't wait to see this person or character or personality every day was a two-dimensional thing on a screen. Okay, your first one, their first one that touched their heart with something funny or something cute, or they talked right straight in the screen to them, or they talked to their friends and their friends gave them nice responses, or their parents, you know, like you see in Peppa Pig and stuff. That whole family is the family everybody wants to be in, where they support each other through thick and thin and all that stuff. And these kids, as old as they are, 18 months, 18 years, their friends are online. Think about their TikTok influencers. They'll show up by the thousands to see this one or that one who's only doing TikTok dances or wearing clothes or doing makeup or opening backpacks or something like that. You see, these kids connect with that two-dimensional experience and they remember what happened there. And if you take it away and you don't replace it with something better, which is anything three-dimensional, right? That two-dimensional thing is only good because that child can control. They like that what they said. They don't even have to watch the whole video, just like you with me. You can skip right through and get to the questions you want and not watch me blabber on about what could be really happening in your heart and mind that you're bypassing because you want to see faster progress. Okay. And if you bypass what's going on in your child's heart and mind, and you focus on what's wrong with them because they can't get Mickey Mouse or Blippi or Cocomelon out of their head, and they keep saying and singing those songs over and over, and you're calling it echolalia because they just want to experience time with their friend. And it's easy because it was a two-dimensional experience before. They can bring it straight into their own head and make it their own imagination. Okay. Think about if you watch a lot of scrolling and you see the same influencers over and over again, you start to hear those guys in your head when you're driving in the car or when you're doing the dishes or when you're trying to fall asleep in bed, right? Kids do too. Kids do too. And that's what happens with these kids with virtual autism. So can the effects of virtual autism linger that long? They absolutely can when you don't replace them with better spoken language. And here's another video for you. The link is in the description where you can see five things you need to know about self-talk and echolalia. That video link is down in the description. Okay, let's move into the next question with SJ Cooks here. So it says, I went cold turkey, no screen time for a few weeks, a few months ago. I saw improvements, but one mistake I did was I didn't replace the tech with myself. Literally what I just talked about. I just gave him more toys. So I ended up going back to the screens as I got overwhelmed. Why do you think I put that out there, that little rant? Because I know that this is happening to parents, okay? And so this mom says, thank you for the video. I'm going to start from tomorrow. Tech time is unlimited at the moment, mainly due to the fact that I had another baby. I feel horrible about it, but he spends anywhere between 3 to 5 hours. And this is still happening, even though parents know what's going on. I'm going to do 2 30-minute intervals tomorrow and look into your books. Now, for this mom, I have another kind of suggestion. For a parent who is really stuck, like you are, you know, the justifications are outweighing your feeling like ability to do it. Like, I am too tired. These twos. I just had a baby. And because I just had a baby, I'm too overwhelmed. I don't have any more hands. The baby needs my attention. I am too distracted. I am too exhausted. I am too, haven't had a shower in 5 days. You know, all that kind of business, right? All those I am twos. For those of you who are in that experience, I recommend my workshop. And what's so cool about this workshop experience is that it's only $47. You can watch it on your own time when the kids are napping, and then you can book a 1 hour call with me for only $74 when you book this, so that you can get some heads up and figure out where to start. This workshop tells you everything you need to do. Okay, still some people watching. There's more Q&A to come. Let's move into the next question. This is from Prudence, who says, my son is 2. He sometimes calls me mama or mommy when he needs something. He likes to mimic those toddler songs. So that's really what that child's been watching, and he's 2. When he's hungry, he would grab my hand and lead me to where his favorite food is kept. But here's the but, he doesn't talk. Sometimes he doesn't respond when I call his name, but, and here's a positive but, he would come when I ask him to come closer. So this is what's interesting about this family, is that this child is making improvements again, but stuck in the nonverbal communication, okay? And there are some small chores. So that's what this mom is doing. What I love to see here, because she has great ideas, and now I know how to guide her. There are things, small chores I ask him to do, and he loves that. Why does he love that? He'll be happy and come look at me straight in my face just to hear me say good boy. So I don't know where he falls. This I don't know where he falls means I'm still second guessing whether my son actually has autism or if they're just virtually autism. But what you said here in this number three, in this green paragraph just before, means that she's just second guessing what she already knows. She already knows that her child can be happy and come look at her and learn from her just when she says the right thing, good boy, right? But now she knows that this child needs to have more verbal praise from her or all kinds of praise. He loves it. That's his reinforcement. He will come and help and do these things with her when she gives him connection and appreciation and gratitude. That's all. Now, she doesn't know where he falls because she's still not hearing him talk. Even though she sees all this other wonderful stuff, what's really wrong with him? Nothing is wrong with him, except for the fact that he is speech and language delayed. And he needs you to facilitate his spoken language, and you get really confused because you're not thinking about what your child needs. You're thinking about what you don't see and what you want and what you have. So, but these moms, I've got a video for you. You can turn this around by just really distracting yourself away from the outcome, talking. When's talking coming? I want talking to coming. I want behavior to stop. I want this behavior to turn into speech, this pointing and dragging and putting my hand and saying, mommy, 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 instead of mommy. I want you to give me a cookie because my tummy is hungry and it's snack time. And I want you to give me two cookies because I want to eat the whole bag, but I want you to make guidance so that I know exactly how many cookies I can have. And I want you to tell me and teach me while you give me cookies, right? This is what your child is doing when they look in your face and they say, mommy, mommy, mommy. When they grab you, they are begging you, parents, to teach them what they need. They need, not what you want them to do. When you see them sigh and roll their eyes and walk away, that's you again second guessing your ability to teach them. And just saying, I can't do this. I don't know. There's those twos and buts and howevers coming into play again. Okay, so this is the video that I have for this mom whose child loves to be with you and connect you. It's so easy when you stop focusing on structured pictures and naming and imitation. Just use these everyday jobs to teach your child. That is how you know that you will be progress. That's how these other parents feel comfortable. Okay, so let's move into the next one. And this is a video, a question on the Einstein syndrome video from Exact Property says, my son is 3.1 years old. So this one's just over three. That, again, worry age. Oh no, they're three and not talking yet. He loves alphabets and numbers. He babbles all day in his own language. So obviously this person's watching the Einstein video because he loves to arrange things. Climbing, colorings, and to go out. But here's the big but. It's so interesting how all of these questions, you can see progress, but you're doubting yourself. He doesn't understand us properly. All right, wait a minute. This is where I want to stop anybody who believes you're watching an Einstein syndrome video because your child understands the concepts of numbers and letters and they're speaking different languages. It might not be your language. It could be Czechoslovakian for all you know or whatever. Or they could be making up their own, or it could be going so fast that they're 3D experience can't keep up with their imagination and all of that, those ideas, the images, the visual images that are going on in their head, the math that they can see, the algorithms in the way that they think, right? These algorithms. And then because the child isn't answering your questions or responding to commands, you think they don't understand you, which is not true. How can it be true that your child doesn't understand you when they're grasping these other concepts? Could it be, moms and dads, that your child, your super smart, super intelligent child, is ignoring you on purpose to manipulate you, to get you to give them more than just a command or a state or a question? How much of your life are you asking questions instead of giving answers? Because there are many reasons that children don't respond. Yes, it is. They don't respond if they don't understand us properly, right? Whatever that means. He doesn't say words. He just drags and cries if he needs anything. The only words he says are English words, and they often, but their main language is Urdu. So where did this child learn the English words that he did? How does he, maybe he, English, I know English is not his first language, but those are the words he's saying because he's getting some motivation for saying them. He's very different from other children his age. That's your opinion. Inside, your child is just like other children, smart, wanting to do what they want to do. Okay. And I know, thanks, I'm doing a good job, but there are things you need to change about what, how you're engaging with your child if you believe they don't understand you. Okay. And here they are. There's actually a two-part series that I have of videos. Again, the links for all these videos are in the description, and there are 10 tips to see faster speech evolution. It's all about connection. It's all about the way you are interacting with your child and the way you think about this process. Those are the things, and there's lots of them that can do it. And that's an amazing video series. Okay, let's keep moving because there are a couple more. This is not the virtual autism. Remember, this is ear fluid. This is the number two. I would used to be the number one reason for children to be speech and language delayed. Environmental or physical issues were ear fluid. But the virtual autism has overtaken those kids. There are too many of those now. And even though ear fluid happens in 1 in 8 kids or something like that, it's very, very, very common. It's also misdiagnosed as autism, just like virtual autism. And kids look exactly the same like virtual autism. And a lot of kids have the double whammy. They're ear fluid. They're watching videos. And if your child doesn't watch videos and they've had ear fluid, that means that they really weren't hearing. Okay. And this mom just watched those 5 reasons. And she says she's in tears of joy and sadness at the same time because I'm an incredible educator. Just informing people about what happens when your child is the correct root cause isn't identified. And so here's a video I just want to share for anybody who has a child who has a history of allergies, ear infections, ear fluid, all of that stuff. This isn't just a how to know that it's ear fluid, but this has strategies to what to do. So this also link is in the description. And you can watch all these videos, and some of them are members, some of them are not. You can watch all of them when you take on this secret hack for my, let me show you just really quick, 20% off your first month's YouTube membership. That link is in the description. Save your money and start learning. I am so grateful for all of you to join me, watch these long videos, do all this Q&A, all this stuff that we see. I'm not seeing any questions, so hopefully I addressed all the questions from parents who have been, you know, commenting on my videos, who've been watching my videos, who've been starting to work with the book, reading all of that, and getting your itinerary going. I'd be very happy. I'm always happy to hear about what you've been doing, about how it's been working for you, so that we can share that with other parents so that they can see that it's not as challenging as people think to facilitate conversational, connected, independent spoken language with children who are language delayed. It's not difficult at all. But what is difficult is changing your habits, because what it takes is daily intervention, 2 to 3 hours every day of facilitation. I explain the whole process and the theory, and there's a massive case study in the fun book. And then this workbook is designed so that you dig in. You do your own video analysis. I teach you how to do it. You analyze your mindset, your connection, as well as the child's development of spoken language every day. And as you see comfort zones establishing, because your child will move up a level and then they'll spend some time perfecting at that level, but then can become in a comfort zone, which is what happened to most of the parents on this video. They saw improvement in connection. They saw improvement in when they improved their mindset and changed from prompters to facilitators, teachers to facilitators, therapists to facilitators, from therapists to being just parents and working with kids like parents have been doing since humans have been talking. Parents have been teaching their kids how to use the verbal spoken language so that they can expand their life and share their wisdom with the world. And that's your role as this child's primary parent or caregiver. If you're the one spending all day with this little one, it's your job. There's no one who can do it better. In fact, as I always say, you are the best. Parents, caregivers, everyone who spends at least 2 to 3 hours every day with a child where you can be 100% focused during that 2 to 3 hours on just that child and their experience. And it doesn't have to be one-on-one. For that mom that has the little baby, you should be using the baby care, all the things you're doing with the baby to teach that older child. And if they're not connected enough to stay with you while you watch the baby, that's what you have to facilitate to get to that point. Unless you do, no one else will. No one will help your child connect with their baby sibling. That seems real natural for you, right? This other spoken language development, following the rules, staying in control of your emotions and responding when kids get out of control, test limits, push your buttons, all of that stuff, that's parenting. And I can show you how to do it in an easy, super easy way. So I've given you all the resources. If there's anything else that you want to know about me or what you can do, is visit me at wavesofcommunication.com. Sally says, I'm very confused, right? Here we go. I stopped screen time. However, the SLP is encouraging my son to watch the programs for language. She says it is Gestalt. Please help. So what's the difference? And she's wondering about Gestalt language. Okay, so Gestalt language is what I encourage parents to utilize as well. This is a really good question. So Gestalt language is the concept of children picking up language naturally from listening to language models. And that's why Miss Rachel teaches a lot of kids to talk, because she labels things and she talks about stories. Now, if your therapist is having you watch videos, that means that your therapist isn't training you to connect with your child. Isn't it better if those language models come from you and not those videos? Because if Gestalt language is what your therapist wants your child to learn, and the whatever 1 hour a week they're not permitting, it's not enough to give that child language models, and the therapist doesn't feel like you can do it. Like, they literally don't give you credit for being able to change how you talk with your child to provide more Gestalt language modeling. And if you want to know how to do that, you want to watch my videos on language facilitation talk. It literally is how you can change. And what it is the right words, which are the words that your child is thinking about, not the words on the list, but the words about the experience. So if you're brushing teeth, you're talking about toothbrushing. If you're riding in the car, you're talking about the experience of where you're traveling to. If you're eating dinner, You're talking about the food and the preparation and how it tastes and all of that stuff. It's not labels, it's experiential language modeling, right? And that's why your therapist is having you watch story videos, because those are experiences. But your child will never pick up those phrases as fast from videos as they will from you. So there is no reason to be confused, Kelly. It is the better way for a late talking child to pick up language, gestalt language modeling, but that modeling will be 10 times faster acquired by your child if you use language facilitation talk. The right words, the words the child's thinking, the right way, slowly spoken, full sentences that describe your child's experiences, and connected storytelling from the beginning. There's no reason for you to say, I'm holding a blue cup. Your child knows that already. When you start talking about why and how and who and where, it's not just, why are we going to this place? Why is this person the one we're connecting with? Not just who are they? This is your teacher. So what? Why is this person my teacher? What's she going to teach me? Why are you leaving me with this teacher? Right? This is the spoken language. And even when I just talked earlier about using your everyday activities to teach your child, this is where the language will come from. You can use this book to facilitate language a lot faster and easier. And if your child is already picking up phrases from the therapist when she says, in the box, it's going in the box. Let's go up the stairs, you know, and she's using those little phrases instead of I want, open it, please, you know, come with me, I need it, you know, that kind of business. Then your child's picking up those phrases, they're going to pick them up a million times. I'm telling you, more than 10 times faster than they will from video. So there is no need for you to put your child in front of any video to learn spoken language, unless you want to go the slow route. Because that's what it is, the slow route. So she says, got it. Thank you. Now you understand the difference and signing up for my videos. Thank you, Kelly. I really appreciate that. And again, they're here for you. The whole idea behind this is to shift your mindset from giving that job away to a therapist or videos or anybody like that, and turning on how to make it fun and easy for yourself. Because if you are suffering, if you watch your child cry and you want everything in you, I've had parents say, it took everything in me not to just pick them up and take them out of there and take them home, right? It's your child's experience. That's not fun. It's not fun for them. It's not fun for you. And I promise you, it's not fun for the therapist either. Okay, they're doing stuff that way. ABA, prompting, PEC system, sign language, all that business. It's not necessary. It's just giving them something easy to teach your child in the 1 hour that they have during a week. If you're teaching at home in between, your speech therapist will look like a rock star. Because they'll say, yeah, my child's in speech therapy, but I never stop talking at home. I'm always giving my child language models. I'm never quitting. Even though there is no video, I'm going to find ways to keep my kid busy. I'm going to make obstacle courses. We're going to learn how to bake. We're going to go on more walks. We're going to do that stuff. You have to change. You have to change what you do and how you do it, and you change what you say and how you say it. And the right words, the right way, at the right time. The right time is right now in the moment, experiential language. That's all it is. Gestalt language learning comes from language models that are the right words spoken at the right time in just the right way. So this late talker understands every word that you're saying. If you believe that your child doesn't understand you properly, like this other parent said, that means that you're not speaking in the right way. Because as a language facilitator, a spoken language facilitator, you should be speaking, your child should be hanging on every word you say. They should appreciate what you're saying to them and not be put off or put down or shut down or judged or manipulated by what you say. They should be empowered and excited to join you. And those of you that have figured out how to get your kiddo to stick by your hip all day when you're running around the house, taking care of the baby or cooking or cleaning or doing whatever, and they're hanging out, you figured out how to include that child, how to give them their mini broom and help them sweep while you're sweeping, how to help them, teach them that it's important to hold your hand on the busy street because you allow them the freedom to run up the sidewalk on the quiet side street. Okay? These are parents who are parenting. They're not giving away that experience. And as a result, their kids are naturally shifting their behavior into spoken language. And all that stuff that you saw that you didn't want to see anymore, it fades away and speech comes out instead. That's what we're facilitating here, okay? And there is no joke. It's happening all over the world. Every parent's doing it. These root causes, that's not, you know, it's not. It's not what you think. Here's another question coming in. While speaking to my son, he starts screaming. Today's even scratching himself. Wow. Why is your son upset with you? If I'm speaking to someone and they are saying, you know, if they're shouting at me. So interesting, this experience behind me, I live on a beach very near, not on the beach, but near the beach that looks very much like this. And on the weekends, I volunteer to watch birds that are nesting on beaches like this. But there could be 1,000 of these birds all together. And because they're gathering, people like to run and, you know, scare them, even though I talk about it, right? So there are some people that are, you know, it's a very small minority, but they do not care about what I have to say. They don't care about the birds. They don't care about wildlife. They don't care about what I have to say. And it could be that it's just that day, that that person's having such a bad personal experience that they can't see joy or happiness in anything. And anybody, their fuse is so short that any spark of any kind of energy shoots them off. And they go off like a rocket and start screaming at you, right? And I was like, whoa, I'm just here trying to educate about the birds. I'm not trying to be confrontational with anybody. In fact, all I said to the guy was, do you know about the birds? And he went off screaming at me with all kinds of unconscious kind of stuff about mind my own business and, you know, all of that stuff. And so what that says to me is that's kind of what happened to you, right? You're just trying to share information or be kind or guide your child or something like that. At least that's where it came from in your heart. But you got a response like that. And that means that your child is not regulated. He's not feeling safe and secure about his life. And that's where you need to start with this child before you ask him to do anything that's going to change his experience out of, you know, control. That's a child who's been controlled too much of their time. Okay. And they don't believe that you're going to be any different. They believe that you're just like everyone who used to control. So maybe, again, this is one, Srijana, I want to caution you to think about, and you can do this through your own video analysis. Take a video of your interactions, have your partner do it, and count how many of the phrases that come out of your mouth are in the form of a question or a demand. Okay. And if there are, you know, there should be 20 statements before a question is asked or a statement or a demand is made. There should be 20 more explanations as to why that thing should happen before the demand ever comes out with, or the expectation of performance even. Okay. So when I see this kind of situation, that's when I see that, a child has been traumatized by their experience by someone, and they don't believe that you're there to help them. So that's what you have to prove. That's the only thing that you can do for these guys, okay? All right, so I think we've been at this just about an hour, and I think it's about time to call it quits for this week's Q&A. Once again, thank you. I'm very, very grateful. Very, very grateful for all of your likes, shares, subscribes. I know that everybody has to say all that, but the reality is, let me pop back here. The reality is, like I said, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to put all this together for you. And I appreciate your support by watching through these long videos, by commenting, by sharing your videos and all of that stuff. And Sujana says, thank you for the suggestion. It's a nice suggestion. I'll keep check. He's having words and he does label pictures sometimes, but yeah, that's the but, right? That we come in, that but, that's what we're worried about. Kelly says, and I'm grateful for you. Thank you, Kelly. I'm grateful for you too. I'm here to help. And I want you to see me as a valuable resource. And so, yeah, thank you so much for whatever support you can give to the platform. I'm eternally grateful. Sending lots of love to all of you. It's a very tough. Last advice about diet. It's no need. I don't even get into diet and supplements and zappies on your brain or any of that, because I have done research into all of these kinds of things. I'll just put it up here. She wants to know about gluten-free, casein-free diets and all of that stuff. I have worked with children, thousands and thousands of families, and I can count on one hand children who have benefited from supplements more or first before they developed. And those are kids who have the chromosomal difference that that pandas, that MFTHR genetic difference, and were affected by viruses or flu vaccines, things like that, because that genetic marker shows effect from viral influence, and a lot of medications like injections have that. So kids who have been sick from illness, physical illness, who are truly ill, who have documented physiological, neurological things, not these blood tests or EEG blood flow business things where they see there's a lot of this chelation or high toxicity, none of that. Even the fish oil with the B vitamins, all of that business. The reason that I don't want you to do those first is because I want you to prove to yourself how powerful you are without it. Okay. And you have to give it time. These moms who just took screen time away and they're like, yeah, I expect my child to spontaneously improve. They're not doing what this other mom talked about with the Gestalt language modeling. They're not modeling. They're not using speech. They're not connected with their kids. Okay. Because when you do those things, there's no need for those diets. Unless your child has diagnosed celiac disease at a young age. Now, do I recommend clean eating? Yes. I recommend avoiding GMOs. I recommend avoiding additives, preservatives, red dye 40, high glucose, corn syrup, all that business. But there's no reason, if you make food at home, if you're making your own roti, if you're making your own, you know, general food, Ayurvedic diet, whatever you have at home, healthy food. If your child eats vegetables and proteins and grains and dairy and calcium and all of those things in their regular diet, then there's no need to change. None of that. Because just changing your diet to eliminate those things takes your energy away from the child's connection. Impression on food is a reinforcement or invitation. Don't even. There is no reason to bribe your child at all. And if you use food, you're going to end up with an overweight, obese child who is more focused on food than they are on you. There is no reason to use any reinforcement, tangible reinforcement. Children who love to talk, to parents, love to talk to parents because their parents connect with them, not because they give them things. In fact, we don't talk when we get what we want. You eat a piece of cake that you enjoy, you say, But you eat something that you don't like and you'll have five sentences to say about why you don't like that thing. I don't like, it's too this, it's too that. Just like your questions here. But what about this? But what about this? These are things that therapists have to use because they've only got an hour and their job is pulling things out of your kid. You have this child's lifetime and you have all day. If you're working, you have before work, after work. And then while you're at work, the person who is with that child should be providing Gestalt language modeling, language facilitation talk all day with your child in combination of activities. There's no need for any of this business. No need for any reinforcement. No need. No need. No need. No need for ABA. No need. No need for occupational therapy. No need for speech therapy even. You can learn how to do this. You should be using your therapy experience to learn what is affecting your child positively and negatively. If your child is crying at the therapy, stop it. No need. If you have to bring food to the therapist for them or they, because they said your child won't sit and work without food, there's no need. Stop it. There's no need. That therapist does not know how to connect with your child. And if you are giving food, it happens a lot. These parents, the kids are eating things. They're putting things in their mouth. So parents start giving them food. Popcorn, crunchy stuff. They're getting their movement. If they're not going out, they're sitting in front of TV. They want crunchy stuff, chips to eat. These things are substituting your connection with your child. And you're just going to end up with an obese child who is food obsessed, like an animal, like happens to dogs. Okay? Even a dog trainer will not want you to use food as a reinforcement forever. Because you're just going to end up with an obese dog. You teach them how to respond to the activity as reinforcement. It's good to help people. You make mommy happy when you try to get dressed all by yourself, when you eat all the food in your tiffin, when you carry my groceries, when you give me a hug if I stub my toe and I'm crying, right? When you're quiet so the baby can sleep. This is what we're facilitating here, okay? And Sarita says, thank you so much, ma'am. It's my pleasure to help all of you. Thank you for watching these videos. And this is the time to make changes right now. You have it in you, moms and dads. You have it in you. You can do all this. Thank you so much again for joining me on another live Q&A. Next week, I'll be back on Thursday with another video to talk about common situations that are happening with children that are speech and language delayed, that are showing behavior, signs of autism. There's no need for early diagnosis, early intervention, early stuff, but there is a need for you to be involved. And remember, the most important person to show up for any of these strategies is you. Thank you so much for watching again, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye for now.
With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation journey to speech workbook. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.